searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your own.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, an evening with Jesus in the Word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I'm just happy, hallelujah, to be alive and well on tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyway, glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're alive today, hallelujah, just going to give God some praise, hallelujah, because somebody didn't make it today, glory to God. But you're alive, hallelujah, and you have breath in your body, so go ahead on and give God some praise, hallelujah, no matter what went on, what didn't go on, what you thought was supposed to go on, hallelujah, glory to God. Just give God some praise, hallelujah, because he is Lord, no matter what, hallelujah, glory to God. So let's just, before we get started, go ahead, hallelujah, and pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because we're going to be talking about the mind-binding spirits on tonight. And we just want to make sure we bind up the devil and the enemy and Satan and the enemy of your souls tonight, of our souls. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And just pray for the Holy Spirit to come in and teach this broadcast and to just help us and be with us in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So, Father, we just come to you tonight to say thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We give you praise and glory and honor, O God, because you are truly worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to take the time to say thank you and bless your name because you are worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. Father, I exalt you tonight, Lord God. I lift you up, Lord God. I magnify your name, Lord God, for you alone are worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Father, It's with thanksgiving that I come to you this evening, hallelujah, to bless your name, Lord God, hallelujah, to magnify your name, to lift you up, Lord God, hallelujah. God, despite the circumstances and the situations, oh God, that have occurred, Lord God, this day, yesterday, the day before then, Lord God, or whenever they happen, Lord God, despite those things, Lord God, we thank you and give you praise tonight, Lord God, in Jesus' name. For you are worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to come in and teach this broadcast on tonight, oh God. Teach this lesson tonight about mind-binding spirits, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just yield to you tonight, right now. We yield to you tonight, right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Father, we cast out every spirit that is not like you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our minds right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and we bind the attack of the enemy. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we bind every spirit of retaliation. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just say thank you on tonight, Lord God, and bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just thank you and I praise you. I give you glory. I pray, Lord God, for anybody who may be listening right now, Lord God, even in the archives and on the phone line, who might not know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins. I pray for them right now. Hallelujah, that the God of this world would take the blinders off their eyes, that we rebuke the blinders on their eyes in the name of Jesus, that they will see, hallelujah, the truth of your word and be saved, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the person who may have backslidden, oh God, is trying to find their way back to you, Father, that you will draw them by your spirit, oh God, for your word says, hallelujah, no man can come to the Father except he draw them, hallelujah. So, Father, we ask that you will draw those intended to be saved on tonight, oh God, those that are supposed to return to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you will draw them by your Holy Spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But, Father, I know your love has lifted us, oh God. I know your love has lifted me. I know your love, Lord God, has lifted me out of the darkness, oh God, out of the muck and the mire. Your love has lifted me. Oh God, with that same love, I ask you to lift those out, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That are called to be lifted out this day, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I say thank you for it right now. I give you glory and praise and honor for it right now, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, I say thank you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like to say welcome. Hallelujah, too. Looks like we have a Bishop August Francis with us tonight in Him Ministries. Glory to God. Thank you for being on in the chat room tonight, and guest 2767. You know, you guys, if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 323-693-3054. That's area code 323-693-3054. Glory to God. And we're going to do, we're doing the study tonight. Oh, Felicia. In Him, that's Felicia. Oh, well. Hi, Felicia. You usually be on the phone. I don't know what happened. Oh, there you are. Poof, you're there. I thought that was Bishop August Francis because, oh, no, his is Tell Them, right, Gerald? Yeah, his is Tell Them. Okay, and I'd like to say welcome to my husband tonight. He's on the line. My co-host, Pastor Felicia, is on the line. We have a guest in the chat room. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we are going to be reading tonight from chapter 6. I was so excited about getting to chapter 6. You know, as I told you guys before, but what I wanted to do is to, I have the study guide. Yay, 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 yay. Okay. I got to get a cheering section over here. And I wanted to you guys to just go over very quickly chapters 4 and chapter 5. And you can go back and listen to this in the archives. But I really like to read these questions to you. And chapter 4 was entitled Little by Little. And it says to read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. And the questions are, the process of renewing our minds take place, blank. Okay. What did God tell the Israelites? He would clear out their enemies this way. Why did God tell the Israelites he would clear out their enemies this way? And what is the beast, that will consume us if we receive too much freedom too quickly? Read Deuteronomy chapter 7 and then answer those questions. Read 1 Peter 5:10 and answer this question. Why do we need to suffer a little while? Okay, question 3. Read Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And the first question from that says, what can we learn from watching a baby's attempt to walk? Question B, how does the devil try to stop you from renewing your mind? What can you do to stop his attempt? Question C, walking after the flesh is what? Walking after the spirit is what? And question E, when you fail, that doesn't mean you are a failure, but what does it mean? Read Psalms. I know those are good questions, right? Question number four, read Psalm 42, verse 5, James 1, verse 4, and Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, as well as Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And the question A says, what happens to hope and victory when we become discouraged? Question B says, what should you do to overcome condemnation and discouragement? Amen. Chapter 5 says, be positive. It says, read Matthew chapter 8:13. The first question, explain the effect of positive and negative thoughts on the lives of people. Question 2, read Romans 8:28 and Romans 12:16. Question A, does the Bible say that all things are good? Question B, how are we to react when our plans don't work out? Okay. Question 3, read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Many of us have had bad things happen to us, things which cause us to be negative about the future. According to this verse, how should we react to such situations? Question 4, read John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Read Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Question A, what did Jesus say it was profitable? Why did Jesus say it was profitable for us that he go away? Question B, what does Jesus teach us that the Holy Spirit will do for us? Question C, what does the Bible say about the work God has begun in us? You may not be able to resist the sin of speaking negatively, but when you do, ask God to help you. Speaking negatively about yourself will hinder the good things God has for you. Okay? Question 5, read Acts 17, verse 11. How can we achieve balance in our thinking? Question 6, read Romans 4, verses 18 to 20, and Hebrews 6, verse 19. Question A, being positive does not mean that we are to ignore the obvious. How do we deal with impossible situations without losing hope? Question B, what is the anchor of the soul? How does it help us? Question 7, read Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, and Proverbs 15:15. Question A, what is God's desire toward us as reflected in these passages? What do we need to do to receive his will for us? Question B, what are evil forebodings? How are we to deal with them? Question 8, read 1 Peter 1, chapter 3, verse 10. What does this verse say we must do if we want to enjoy life and see good days? Okay? What does it say that we must do to enjoy life and see good days? Now, we're going on to chapter 7, mind-binding spirits, and I mean chapter 6, mind-binding spirits. And there's only three questions in this chapter. So what I'm going to do is read them to you right now. So as we go through the chapter, you can kind of be forming your answers to the questions, okay? The first question says, read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And the question is, how can we experience the peace of God? How can we experience the peace of God? Question 2, read John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Psalm 107, verse 20. How can we overcome mind-binding spirit? Romans 3, chapter 8, verse 26, and James chapter 1, verses 2 to 8. This is question 3. And A says, as Christians, why must we decide to believe? How can we believe during times when our minds don't understand everything? And question B, what should we do when we are going through trials? what should we do when we are going through trials? Okay, these are questions from chapter 6, Mind-Binding Spirits. Pastor Felicia, your phone dropped. I don't know what happened, but if you can, call back in, please. Okay, so we're reading from Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind, the commemorative edition, chapter 6. Thank God she came back. And we are using this book with permission from...
Hello? Did my phone go out again? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. White?
What?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. We're on.
Okay, I know you're on.
All right, Pat.
See?
Pastor Felicia?
I've been listening to you.
Yes.
Pastor Felicia? Hello?
Hello?
All right, okay. Now I can hear you. All right, all right, all right. I don't know what happened. I don't know if we cut off at some point while we were reading the question, but if I have time, we'll go over them again at the end of the broadcast. Pastor Felicia, do you have the study guide?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have to run out of here probably about 6:15.
Okay.
And you can take it from there if you don't mind, if you don't have anything else to do. You know, you and my husband have been tag teaming, so that's good. So if you guys can take it over after that, because I do have to go do a Battlefield of the Mind Women's Fellowship at someone's home tonight. So that's why I'm leaving out. We're going to try to schedule this broadcast and see if I can do them simultaneously, because what's happening is, you know, I'm going to have to drop the broadcast a little bit earlier to go over there to do that. So I want to see if I can try to do them simultaneously to save some time. And then it'll be more interactions and things like that. So I'm going to try to do that next week. But their time is at 7 p.m. Where I have to go. So I'm trying to see if I should move this broadcast to 7 p.m. So that we can be live on the air over there. So I'll find out and let you know. I don't even know if they have the internet set up over there or not, but we'll figure it out. Amen.
Okay.
So let's just start reading chapter 6. And again, it's entitled Mind-Binding Spirits. And what I want everyone to do is just plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. Because what happens is when we begin to talk about things that have us bound, those spirits don't want to loose us, okay, or loose whoever is bound. They don't want to loose anybody who's bound up. They don't want people to be free. But we declare freedom tonight in the name of Jesus. We declare freedom from any bondage of any sort in the name of Jesus, whether it's a mind-binding spirit, I mean, whatever it is, because the battle is in our mind, and a lot of stuff that we deal with because of the things that we're thinking about. And that's going to be the next chapter. Think about what you're thinking about. And that's a great chapter. If we would just go and read that and do what that chapter tells us to do, I think a lot of our problems would be solved. But we do know that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We do know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We know that for a fact. When I was at the women's meeting last week and we were talking about wrestling against flesh and blood, and I did a demonstration, it was like, okay, hit me, just hit me. So they hit me, and I was like, so you can't do that with spirit. You cannot attack a spirit in the flesh. Like, if I decided I wanted to tell you off, Felicia, or tell my husband off, I'm actually telling you off, and I'm either talking to you on the phone or I'm looking at you face-to-face, okay? But with demonic spirits, we cannot see them. Unless you have discernment of spirits and you're operating in that realm and you can see those spirits. But 9 times out of 10, we cannot see what we're dealing with, okay? We can't see the spirit of lust. We can't see, you know, the lion spirit. We can't see the spirit of theft.
you know, we can't see the spirit that would want to go out and rape somebody. We can't see those spirits with our natural minds. But we're actually dealing with spirits. We're dealing with, though we're living the seen world, we're dealing with stuff that's happening in the unseen world. We can't see them with our natural eyes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to train our minds to do is begin to fight the spiritual warfare. We quickly forget that the things that we're fighting against is not people, but spirits, demonic spirits. And a lot of people are oppressed demonically because they don't know how to fight. They're not equipped. They haven't equipped themselves with the power of God through the word of God, you know, through the weapons that he has given us. So there has been demonic oppression. Depression is a spirit. Homosexuality is a spirit. You know, but people don't want to address these things. And a lot of reason why people don't get delivered from anxieties and fears and stuff like that is because doctors are trying to treat the symptom from the natural aspect, giving you medications that make you sleepy, that make you tired or make you dopey in some type of way, but not really dealing with the spirit. They don't know how to deal with the spirit because they're a natural doctor. So what we have to do is we have to go into the spirit realm to deal with this stuff. And I'm talking about this because I know it for myself that depression is a spirit. And if you will play around with that spirit, you find yourself somewhere in your room with the door closed, all the lights off, no TV, shut your phone off, you know, don't want to be bothered with the world for 2 or 3 days, you don't take a bath, you stink, you know what I mean? Your hair disheveled, you're just walking around looking all cuckoo because the spirit has attacked, okay, your mind. And it's telling you, oh, your life is just so bad. You know, you don't need to get up. Everybody hates you anyway. Nobody likes you. Nobody loves you. Things never go your way, girl. You might as well just go ahead and give up. You know, those kind of things that the enemy will come and bring to your mind. And if you sit there and meditate on that stuff, okay, you will be in a state of depression. And some people are out there in a state of clinical depression where they cannot function. They cannot function unless they're taking some type of medication. And usually that medication is something that's, I mean, as bad as the spirit, if you ask me, because it got you walking around doped up or you sleeping your whole life away. So that's why we got to be careful as believers. Okay, we got to be careful as believers. We have the power to access the throne of God. We have the power to just go directly to God. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go to the pastor. We don't have to go to them. But we have the right and the authority as believers to go straight to God in prayer and say, God, I need your help. I need you right now. I'm going through this depression. I'm going through whatever it is. And ask God to deliver you, and he will. He will. If you don't know how to do spiritual warfare and you just don't know, just, God, I need you to help me in the name of Jesus. God, I know I'm depressed and I don't know why, but God, I need you to help me in the name of Jesus. Okay? And he will. But those of us that know that really know that we're dealing with demonic spirits, okay, the Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's nothing good about that stuff we just mentioned. Okay? It's unclean, demonic spirit meant to take you out. How many people have you heard about that have been depressed and just killed themselves because they were depressed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Look at what Michael Jackson went through. Michael Jackson was dealing with some serious demonic influence. Okay? Y'all don't have to believe me, but the brother was dealing with some demonic influence. Anytime you take yourself or make yourself look like that, that is a demonic oppression telling you that everything about you is wrong. Because Michael Jackson was not a bad-looking person. That's my opinion, okay? But he wasn't looking bad enough that he had to go mess himself up like that. So he was dealing with that spirit, self-esteem was low, very low.
Oh, yeah.
Rejection. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then he's dealing with this other religion, which I won't name it, but he was dealing with this other religion that really didn't help him any. He needed somebody to lay hands on him and deliver him. That's what he needed. Somebody that was well-versed in the word of God, that had the gifts of the spirit, okay, and the power that Jesus gave us, to lay hands on that boy so he can get delivered.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have anybody in his circle to minister to him on that level. Same thing with Whitney Houston. Same thing. The devil told her she could drink and take those pills and do all that stuff and she would be okay. She did it one time too many. Those demons were after her, chasing her. Somebody should have been able to have her in counseling and say, Whitney, you know, I don't know who was in counseling with her or who wasn't, but somebody should have been able to tear those strongholds down for her. But she had mind-binding spirits. Okay, and a lot of us go through those things. I had mind-binding spirits. When I was living out there all crazy trying to kill my ex-husband and trying to go through it, there was mind-binding spirits. You had the devil telling me, go ahead and kill him, girl. It's going to be all right. It's justified. But then I would have been the one in jail while the devil was laughing at me, talking about, aha, see what I made her do? But we got to take authority, and thank God that he saved me and delivered me, because I didn't even have anybody to help me through that. It was the Holy Ghost that helped me through that. Okay? So y'all didn't call to hear about all of that. Let's just listen to chapter 6, mind-binding spirits, okay? Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Joy says, I once reached a place in my walk with God where I was having a hard time believing certain things that I had previously believed. I didn't understand what was wrong with me, and as a result, I got confused. The longer the predicament went on, the more confused I became. The unbelief seemed to be growing by leaps and bounds. I began to question my call. I thought I was losing the vision God had given me for the ministry. I was miserable. She said, unbelief always produces misery. My mind was sluggish, and I felt as if I could not believe God no matter how hard I tried. 2 days in a row, I heard this phrase coming up out of my spirit, mind-binding spirit. The first day, I didn't think much about it. However, the second day, as I began a time of intercession, I heard it again for about the fourth or fifth time, mind-binding spirit. Although I was unfamiliar with that phrase, it made sense considering how I felt mentally. I knew from all the people to whom I had ministered that multitudes of believers have trouble with their minds. I thought the Holy Spirit was leading me to pray for the body of Christ against a spirit called mind-binding spirits. So I began to pray and come against mind-binding spirits in Jesus' name. After only a couple of minutes of praying, I felt a tremendous deliverance come to my own mind. It was quite dramatic. The thought of evil spirits lurking around is rather creepy, but they exist. Jesus called demons by name and commanded them to leave. Page 50, delivered from mind-binding spirits. Nearly every deliverance God has brought to me has been progressive and has come about by believing and confessing the word of God. John 8:31-32 and Psalm 107:20 are my testimony. She says in John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Psalm 107:20 says of the Lord, he sends forth his word and heals them and rescues them from the pit and destruction. But this time I felt and knew immediately that something had happened in my mind. Within minutes, I was able to believe again in areas I had been struggling with just prior to my time of prayer. I'll give you an example. Before being attacked by the mind-binding evil spirits, I believed that according to the word of God, the fact that I was a woman from Fenton, Missouri, whom no one knew, wouldn't make any difference in my life or ministry. Galatians 3:28. When God was ready, he would open doors that no one could close. See Revelation 3:8. And I would preach all over the world the practical, liberating messages he had given me. I believed I would have the privilege of sharing the gospel throughout the nation by radio and eventually by television, not because of me, but in spite of me. I knew that, according to the scriptures, God chooses weak and foolish things to confound the wise. See 1 Corinthians 1:27. I believed that the Lord was going to use me to heal the sick. I believed that our children would be used in ministry. I believed all sorts of wonderful things that God had placed in my heart. Most of them seemed foolish to reason or mental understanding. But God put them in my heart and gave me supernatural faith to believe what in the natural was unbelievable. However, when the evil spirits attacked me, I couldn't seem to believe much of anything. I thought things like, well, I probably just made all that up. I just believed it because I wanted to, but it probably won't ever happen. But when the spirits left, the ability to believe came rushing back. This experience clarified to me even more than before just how aggressively the devil comes against our mind. He knows if he can control our thoughts, that he can control our life. Pay attention to the condition of your mind and keep it free, peaceful, and full of faith. Pay attention to the condition of your mind and keep it free, peaceful, and full of faith. Decide to believe. She's going to, the scripture is from Romans 8:26. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayers to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself gives to meet our application, but the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in on our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. As Christians, we need to learn to decide to believe. God often gives us faith, a product of the Spirit, for things that our minds just can't always seem to come into agreement with. The mind wants to understand everything, the why, the when, and the how of it all. Often, when that understanding is not given by God, the mind refuses to believe what it cannot understand. It frequently happens that a believer knows something in his heart, his inner man, but his mind wars against it. She says, I had decided long before to believe what the word says and to believe the rhema, the revealed word, that God gave me, the things he spoke to me or the promises he gave me personally, even if I didn't understand why, when, or how it would come to pass in my life. As children of God, one of the privileges we have is believing the impossible. But this thing I had been battling was different. It was beyond decision. I was bound by these mind-binding spirits and just couldn't bring myself to believe. Thank God that through the Holy Spirit, he showed me how to pray and his power prevailed. She said, I'm sure that you are reading this book right now because you were led to it. You too may be having problems in this area. If so, I encourage you to pray in Jesus' name. By the power of his blood, come against all evil spirits that hinder godly thought. If you feel your mind is sluggish, lazy, and unable to believe, then speak against mind-binding spirits. Pray this way not just one time, but any time you experience difficulty in this area. The devil never runs out of fiery darts to throw against us when we are trying to go forward. Lift up your shield of faith and remember James 1, verses 2 through 8, which teaches us that we can ask God for wisdom in trials, and he will give it to us and will show us what to do. She said, I had a problem, a fiery dart I had not encountered before, but God showed me how to pray, and I was set free. She says, you will be too. That's the end of chapter 6. Pastor Felicia, Bishop Scott, do you have anything that you want to ask about this chapter, add to this?
I don't have anything at this time.
Tell them Ministries is in the house. Amen. I'm sorry, Pastor Felicia. Tell them Ministries. Good evening, Bishop August Francis. We spoke him here. He's here. Amen. God bless you, Bishop August Francis. Tell them Ministries. Bishop Francis, anything that you heard just now, or if this is your wife, would you please give us a call, 323-693-3054. Again, it's area code 323-693-3054. Okay, honey, did you have anything that you wanted to say? Gerald? Bishop? Okay, I guess he don't have anything to say. I was asking you, did you have anything that you wanted to say?
Not at this point.
Okay. So we're just going to go on and let's just look at those questions that we read at the beginning of the broadcast for Chapter 6. And one of the questions was, how can we experience the peace of God? Okay. How can we experience the peace of God? How can we experience the peace of God? But before, I don't want to go over this too quickly about mind-binding spirits, because there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that has to deal with spirits that will come in that cause them to disbelieve whatever God has said to them. I know God has told me a lot of things that were going to transpire in my life by his spirit, and I have at times doubted that. I have listened to other people and allowed myself to doubt what God was saying. But we have to believe God no matter what. We have to believe God no matter what. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like. We have to believe God no matter what. Because I've been through so many things in my life, okay, I've been through, I can't even talk about all of the things that I've been through in my life. But there has come a point in my life where I had to decide that I don't want to be bound any longer. I asked God to heal me, whatever is inside of me that is keeping me bound, that is keeping me from going to the next level in him, that is keeping me from going forward in the things of the spirit, then I need you to heal me from that. I need you to reveal and heal, reveal and heal, reveal and heal. And that's what God is doing with me. He's not doing it all at one time because it probably would be too painful, but he's bringing up things that are, you know, that have been laying dormant inside of me and have caused me to act up in some ways that I should not have acted up. But then again, you're dealing with spirits that will come to attack your mind. How many times did you have been asleep and the devil will just come and bring stupid dreams to your mind? It's not about what you ate before you went to bed. It's not about what you looked at television before you went to bed. It's just these spirits just come to attack your mind. I know that, Felicia, you probably have experienced this. I know I've experienced it on a regular where the enemy will come and attack me in my dream. He will come and make it feel like he's killing me in my dreams where I can't even open my mouth. All I can do is call on the name of Jesus. I've had dreams where I've woken up and I felt like I actually lived the dream, and I was so scared when I woke up. I had to pray and cover my mind with the blood of Jesus and say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out my mind. That dream was not true. I don't believe it. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. But these mind-binding spirits, if you don't get up and attack those spirits, they will have their way with you, and your whole day will be messed up and could be your whole life if you don't attack those things. Now, Pastor Felicia, you're on the line. Don't let me do all the talking. You, if there's some things that, you know, you want to relate to us about these things, please do. Another thing is I want to tell you, and I love this story about the seven sons of Sceva, okay? You better know what you're doing and know, don't be playing with these demons, okay? Demons are real, okay?
Yeah.
Their whole intent is to do what? Take us out of here, okay? They don't want us to go to heaven, all right? They want us to do crazy stuff, kill ourselves. You know, be aware of killing ourselves, then they want us to be unaware of killing ourselves because they want us to take pills and, you know, do all these things, drink and drive. These are mind-binding spirits. They will tell you you can drink and drive, okay? That's a mind-binding spirit that will tell you that it's okay for you to live any kind of way you want to and still get up and preach and everything's okay. That's a mind-binding lying spirit that's coming to keep you bound so that you can't go further in the Lord and bring a bad witness to the body of Christ. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
You know, excuse me. We have to understand who our enemy is, people. Okay? We have to understand who our enemy is. This is what I want to say, that I just went through a situation and it ended today. Okay? But I was dealing with a person on my job who the devil, it was her assignment to come to my job to attack me so that I could bring condemnation to Jesus by my actions. He was on assignment to try to get me to destroy my witness of being a Christian. And do you know that the enemy spoke directly to me today and said, "You're religious, aren't you? You're religious. So why would you say I need Jesus? You're religious. Why would you say that?" I'm sitting there like, wow, because you do need Jesus. You know, the stuff that you did to me in a very aggressive attack to cause me to lose my job, you do need Jesus. I was talking to the person. But God had warned me already that this attack is from the devil. And don't you know that if I had not heard the Holy Spirit, that thing would have played in my mind. I would have lost sleep. I wouldn't have been able to eat. It would have attacked my mind so bad that I would have been afraid to even go to the meeting. But I went there with boldness because I plead the blood of Jesus. I asked the Holy Spirit to go with me and help me not to go up there and act out of character and not bring any disgrace on him. And don't you know he did that? But if that spirit would have just got into my mind and had me going all crazy and acting up and doing all that stuff, my witness would have been destroyed. And mind-binding spirits will come and have you do all kinds of things, Pastor Felicia. They come to alter your mind. Don't let nobody tell you that it's okay for you to take these psychotropic medicines when you're depressed. Okay? You're already dealing with the spirit of depression. Now you're dealing with these drugs that really have no value to you because they cause you to act a whole different way and take you out of your natural mind, okay? And it causes you to do things that you would not normally do. So how is that good for you? How is any spirit that comes in to tell you to do something wrong, how is that good for you? We know that if we have a spirit in our mind or a spirit in our soul telling us to do something that's against the word of God, you know that's not the spirit of God. We got to train ourselves to know the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, the devil and his angels, okay? We got to train ourselves and ask God to give us discernment so we can know the difference. But guess what? Regardless of all of that, we need to have a relationship with God the Father. We need to have a relationship with him so we can get to know him, okay? So we can identify these old dumb spirits when they come in so they will not bind us. I mean, are y'all understanding that? We want to, you know, play around with all this other stuff, but we need to get a relationship with God the Father. We need to seek him with our whole heart. We need to trust his word. Whatever his word says, that's what it means, okay? There is no trickery in his word. He doesn't have no ulterior motive with his word. Whatever God says in his word, that's what he means. If he says we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, he means we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. But on the other hand, he says, "Behold, I give unto you power." See, we don't want to utilize that power that he gave us. We want to go run in the prayer line and have people lay hands on us when he gave us power, Pastor Felicia.
Hallelujah. Amen.
He gave you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He gave us power. And we sit around, and instead of the Satan running from us, instead of us resisting the devil and the devil fleeing from us, we're fleeing from the devil. We believers. We got the power of the Holy Ghost. We got the word of God. And we won't even utilize the word of God. And you see more Christians in the hospital getting medicines for depression than you do regular people.
You're absolutely right. Amen.
You see more people up in the psychiatrist's office that claim to be Christians than you do people that don't know Jesus Christ at all.
Yeah.
My Lord.
All up in the psychiatric hospital. Oh, you know, the thing now is it's okay. Just go to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist will help you. Psychiatrists can help people to a point, but when you're talking about spiritual stuff, that psychiatrist, if they don't know Jesus, if they don't know the power of Jesus, if they don't know the power of the name of Jesus, what you going to do for me? But take my money. Charge me $150 an hour to lay up on your couch. I can lay up on my own couch and call on the name of Jesus and let him heal me and deliver me. I don't got to pay you $150 an hour. Come on, y'all.
Where's my help?
Jesus, good evening, Force 259. Guest 2767, guest 2962. In Him Ministries and Tell Them Ministries. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Tell Them Ministries says too many of our pastors and ministers are telling people to go to these doctors, and it minimizes the power of
that's
the Lord in their mind. And that's the truth. You better tell the truth right there, Tell Them Ministries. You do, God.
Mm-hmm.
You know why the pastors are telling them that? Because the pastors are sitting up in there.
And then they're saying because they are licensed. And that's the thing now. They trust the person who is licensed over the Holy Spirit.
You know what, Pastor Felicia? Thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Keep on with that one because it's true. Go ahead.
Because I've been seeing that a lot. You know, they rather go to a psychiatrist because they even, you know, expecting these pastors, you know, to go to theology school and have a license and degrees and things of that nature. You know, they rather, you know, I don't know. I guess it's something tangible, but we're, you know, we're more leaning towards the world than towards the Spirit of God in these day and ages, amen. But it's very important, as we always say, to be led by the Spirit, amen, to walk in the Spirit and not of the flesh, and not to conform into the things of this world.
And that's the truth. And thank you so much for saying that, because guess what? When I go to the women's ministries that I go to, the first thing I tell them, I am not a licensed psychiatrist or psychologist. I put that disclaimer out there and let you know I have not been to school to study psychology or psychiatry, but I have been to the school of the Spirit. I have been through Holy Ghost training because he trained me, okay? Yes, I've been to theology school. Yes, I do have a bachelor's in theology, but guess what? That piece of paper ain't doing me no good if I don't know what's really going on in the Spirit. I could have a bachelor's degree, I could have a doctorate degree, I could have a PPD, a PhD, or ABCDEFG behind my name, and none of that stuff don't matter if I'm not walking in the Spirit. How about that? I'm not doing you any good if you're dealing with demonic oppression and I'm trying to give you some whatever the psychotropic drugs are. All that stuff, I can't think of the name of them names, but all the time you see on the commercial, them things is killing people left and right. But yet,
there is.
What is it? Abilify, Ambien, all these things. They're talking about take this. Oh, but the side effects is this.
Right. So either way,
you know, you're either going to let the demons kill you or you're going to let these doctors with these licenses kill you with this medication.
Yeah.
And I've had people tell me, well, why don't you take your medicine? When the Lord tell me, when he lead me to take my medication, I'll take it. I don't take medicine just because the doctor told me to take it. Because guess what? God made my body, okay? He made this body. And he know just what this body need when this body need it, okay? They done told me I'd had a stroke, I'd had a heart attack, I had aneurysms, I had lupus, and all this other stuff. And if I would take all of the medicine that they told me to take, I'll be somewhere messed up real bad, okay? But when the Holy Spirit know that this body, I just can't take no more right now, Lord, or if he'll say, go ahead and take that aspirin, or whatever he say, I'll go ahead and take it. And sure enough, he'll do whatever it is that he got to do for this body, okay? So, no, I'm not running around. The pharmacy will call me and say, Miss Scott, your medicine needs to be refilled. And I say, I don't need it because I still got medicine from the last time because I don't take it. I don't take it. I'm learning to be led by the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to be stupid, but I'm learning to be led by the Holy Ghost, okay? There's a difference between being just crazy and, okay, well, I'm just going to just give disregard to everything they said, than being led by the Holy Spirit. See, mm-hmm. I don't want to be bound up by these medicines that take me out of my natural mind or cause problems in other areas. What I want to do is be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to do. And you said something mm-hmm. very key. You said, walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. See, I mm-hmm. can't cast out, if I'm walking in the flesh, I can't cast out mind-binding spirit. If I walk in the flesh, I mean, I'm walking in the flesh. How are you playing on the devil's playground and then you trying to cast him out too? You got to get off his playground. Stop playing games with the devil, because guess what? We can't see them spirits, but I can guarantee you, just as clearly as you're hearing my voice right now, those demons are real and are nothing to play with. The seven sons of Sceva found that out when them demons jacked them up and they went running down the street naked and beat up. Okay? So we better know what we're doing, but understand very clearly that we're dealing with demonic spirit. Okay? Anything that's telling us or trying to persuade us to do anything against the word of God is not from God. So if it's not a godly spirit, if it's not the Holy Ghost, then it's a demonic spirit. I'm going to say it again. God is not going to tell you to fornicate. He's not going to tell you to commit adultery. He's not going to tell you to lie or steal. God's not going to encourage you to be a homosexual or a bisexual or none of them other kind of sexuals if it ain't a heterosexual. Folks out here lying on God, talking about, well, God made me this way. You're a liar. The devil is your daddy. God don't make something that he, why he going to make you like that? You might have been born that way, but get born again. He can heal you. Yeah, I got that from somebody else's show. you might have been born that way, but get born again and God can heal you. I got that from, I think that was Minister Bonnie Howell. I don't know, somebody. Area code 409. Area code 409, 499. You are on the air. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries.
Well, hello there, Evangelist Scott. This is Bishop Francis.
Amen. Hi, Bishop Francis.
How are you? Besides being on fire, how are you? now, I was in listening. I had to kind of jump in because what ministers are not walking in the power of God, it is... If we're going to talk about the battlefield of the mind, then the minister, first of all, has to understand that the mind has to be renewed.
Sure
if we
does.
Keep sending a spiritual mind, when we take a person who has been born again and we send them to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, we are, in essence, telling them, the Lord can't help you, go to man. I mean, we're denying the power of God. The world, now here's the thing, and a lot of clergy don't know this, but the fact of the matter is that in the United States, clergy are subject to the same malpractice suits as a psychologist, psychiatrist, because we are considered professional counselors.
That's good.
And the world, now get this, the world expects us to be able to deal with these things. And when you actually talk to psychologists, psychiatrists, clinical social workers, one of the first questions they ask you is, have you discussed this with your clergyman?
Oh, wow.
So they're expecting to hear what we had to say before they say anything. And we keep passing the buck.
My God.
Passing the buck.
Well, we can't, spiritual things can't be handled by lost people.
You're right.
And when you're talking about a mind-changing thing, then you can't just it's changing your life or changing your thought patterns is not something that can be handled by drugs or by simple psychological counseling. The person that we base psychology on, modern psychology, Freud, was a lost pervert.
Ooh.
So we're sending people to a pervert, to a system based on perversion to get them straight spiritually.
Ooh. Now you done learned us something tonight. Go ahead.
See, my biggest issue is that before I entered the ministry, I trained to be a social worker. So I'm not telling you things that I heard secondhand. This is what we were taught. And, I mean, our psychology professor was a woman who was married to a man that lived two states away, and they saw each other twice a year, and yet she wanted to counsel people about their relationship. So, I mean, we have to watch who we're passing the ball to. If we're going to be team players on this, then that's kind of like the guy who ran a touchdown at the other end of the goal at the other end of the field and actually scored a touchdown for the other team, because that's what we're
right.
doing. Turn that over. People come to us expecting the Lord to speak.
Right.
See, we have been trained by many people in ministry in their effort to be to be accepted, and I know I'm going into a lot of things, and I don't mean to take over the whole program. I'm going to shut up in a little bit, but one of the things that we do, we want people who have gone to quote accredited schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember
right.
this: when we send our preachers to what the world calls an accredited school, we're sending them to a place to be approved by people who do not believe the Word of God.
Hmm. To be approved by people who don't believe the Word of God?
Yeah, right. The major accrediting institutions that most colleges and most schools, whether it be from elementary right on through secondary postgraduate education, are schools that believe that evolution is how everything came into being. They do not believe the Word of God, and they teach religion as a philosophy, which is one among many. So we're sending our preachers to be approved by people who don't approve of the Lord, and we're calling them accredited.
Amen.
The world accredited them, and how the world accredits them is that the further they can get you away from believing the Bible, the more credible you are to the world.
So that's where
Bishop Scott, you know what I'm talking about. The more they can get you,
even theological seminaries with their biblical criticism and analysis and all of that. They, if you go in a Christian to a theology school, in a theology college or whatever, you may come out not believing everything about the Bible.
Exactly.
In fact, there's a chance you'll go in less a Christian, come out less a Christian than you were when you went in. This is theology school.
I know of several Pentecostal Bible colleges that have professors who are atheists, who are homosexuals, who are of different religious beliefs other than Christianity. And this is why. In order to get accreditation and financing based on governmental standards, you have to hire people that are the best qualified, regardless of their religious beliefs. So you have atheists that teach Bible. Teach Bible, but teach it as a history book. But they can't give you the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They can't make that transference. They can't give that impartation. And so all of these people that
we wonder why church looks like it does, it's because of the fact that in order for us to function rubbing shoulders with the world, we have allowed people to renew their minds, but their minds are being changed
by the wrong spirit. That's why I got an email the other day on one of our sites, and it was a preacher asking, and it was a general email, asking people to help him. And when you went to his website, the big thing right on the front of the website was a picture of him with his arms around Oprah.
My Lord.
Now, Oprah believes that you can be your own God.
Yeah.
She actually has a radio program. She has an internet radio program, and now I believe on her television network, where she interviews various people from different walks of religion, but her main speaker is a man that believes that Jesus came to show us how to be God. Mm-hmm. He was just one of many humans that developed the Christ spirit, and we can do that too. Now, I'm not going to link. I can't link arms with him because he links arms with a person that believes that they're their own God. But and we have a very famous producer of movies and plays that is linked up with this woman.
All right now.
Okay. I can't help that with that. If I do that, if I'm going to oversee a fellowship and I'm telling you to go and find your spiritual help with somebody who doesn't believe the Word of God is the true and living Word of God, then your mind's going to get changed, but it's not going to get changed in a godly way.
Right.
So it's time for us to stand up and realize that the world is actually taking cues from us. And you say, well, where's the scripture for that? The earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Groans.
The earth is in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Waiting for. Lord, help us today. Jesus. Let me tell you something. The scripture came to my mind. The scripture just came to my mind of Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the opposite has actually happened. We are conforming to the world. We're not being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're conforming to the world. Talking like the world, looking like the world, acting like the world, doing what the world says, taking God out of this, taking God out of that, and accepting it. Allowing these spirits to come in and just take control over things that's supposed to be godly. Look in the church services. And then when you leave the church, when you leave the what do you call it, Gerald? The
sanctuary.
Huh?
What, sanctuary?
No, not the sanctuary, but the I guess you could say sanctuary, but when you leave the building, when you leave the organized church, okay, if you leave... know, and you have Bible study in your house or something, people want to call you the devil and call you the renegade, and you're the one with the problem because you want to go and do spiritual things instead of be caught up in all this other stuff that the world has brought into the church. You got people in church with smoke machines, blowing smoke around the church. I don't need no smoke. The Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. All that stuff. I don't need people to entertain me. We don't need entertainment right now. We need the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with the Spirit, not with entertainment. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Because this world has nothing to offer us, but it's calling us, it's compelling us to come and join it. And so many people have betrayed God and conformed to the world. That's why it's hard to tell the world from the church now, the world from the church now. When I was a little girl, they didn't play church back then. You didn't have all of this comedy in church and praise dancing. And I'm not taking nothing away from praise dancers because some people praise dance very well. But you didn't have all of these, you know, choir competitions and, you know, all of this stuff competing, okay,
mm-hmm.
to do things in the church. They was about spiritual things. But at somewhere along the way, we opened up the door and just let Satan walk in, and now you see all kind of stuff in the church. But then when you got people that leave because of foolishness, oh, you know, that's the renegade. They, you know, they the devil. Satan done got their mind now. You can't even discern what's of God and what's not of God because you're so messed up in your mind by demonic spirits.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even discern what's of God and what's not of God. But that becomes because of relationship, Pastor Felicia and Bishop and Bishop. Relationship. We have to have a relationship with the true and living God. We try to be so busy doing relationship with people.
Right.
I want a relationship with Bishop so-and-so because they're well-known. I want a relationship with Tyler Perry because he's well-known. I want a relationship with Oprah because she's well-known. So you give in to the devil just so you can be popular, so you can gain money. That's why the scripture said, don't seek to be rich. Don't seek
mm-hmm.
to be rich. Because then you forget all about me. But God said you forget all about me when you seek to be rich. All this other stuff comes into your mind. It comes into your mind, and then you go out, and now you're doing this, and now you're doing this, and now you're compromising this, and you're compromising that. You're doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you're wondering why. Why, Lord? Don't ask the Lord why. You know you dropped the ball somewhere along the way. I'm done, y'all. I got to go. Pastor Felicia, Gerald.
Oh, amen. Where are we at?
I don't know where you at. Oh, no.
Amen.
Bishop Francis, I got to go because I got to do another women's ministry. I got to go. But y'all can take the rest of the program. It'll be on until 6:30. My husband is sitting right here. What do you want to talk about? Because we don't left the book so long ago, it ain't funny. Jesus is Lord. Y'all do what y'all want to do. I got to hit the road. Now, Bishop Francis, okay, now you got a chance to hear some of what I do. I didn't know you were going to be on tonight, but I did say you were on the line before you got on there.
I had to show up, and then you showed up.
Amen. So, yes, this is part of the ministry that we do out of the Pure Heart Ministries, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I would invite you guys, Felicia, Lord willing, I know you'll be here with us, but I would invite you guys to be here on Wednesday. I'm trying to get to the topic of Wednesday's broadcast. I won't have to go out and do ministry anywhere else on Wednesday, but I just want to give you the topic of Wednesday's broadcast. If my computer wants to act like it has some sense, which it's not. Hold on for one moment. I'm trying to see if I can get there. Here we go. Wednesday, we're going to talk about the call of the Christian, come out from among them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's, honey?
Oh,
my husband be cracking me. Honey, was that you?
No, that was me, I think. What, you said M.D.?
Yeah, he said M.
I thought that was Pastor Felicia.
No, that's that. That sounds like a man.
That was him. That was him.
Stop playing. Topic for Wednesday at 5 p.m., the call of the Christian, come out from among them. Okay, Pastor Felicia, I'm letting you know now, so be ready. Bishop Scott, be ready. Bishop Francis, if you decide to tune in, you're more than welcome to chime in.
Well, I appreciate
we'll get
that.
You on the air just like we did tonight.
Yeah, just start speaking and not show up.
Yes, right? of our words. We better make sure we know what we're saying out these mouths of ours. Amen.
Right.
And so y'all write that down. The call of the Christian, come out from among them. And the reason, I believe the reason why the Holy Spirit gave me that topic is because it's too many of us conforming to the world and saying and lying and saying it's okay with God. And if you read throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament, you will see that when God told his people to go to wherever they were going, he said, don't act like the heathen. Don't act like the nation around you. Don't do this. Don't act this way. But they went and did it anyway. They set up high places. They set up altars in high places. They worshiped other gods. The men took women from these other countries. And then they began to act like these people. This is why God says, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, but people are trying to make of God fit their situation and their lifestyle, and God is saying, come out from among them. He wants us to be holy. We're not going to preach that tonight because we get ready to go. I can feel myself getting ready to go on with that one, but we're going to do this on Wednesday. Wednesday night. Yep. At 5. Okay? As the Lord says so, and we still all here on Friday. I pray that we all meet here again on Friday. Pastor Felicia, have I spoken to you before?
I thought you said Wednesday.
I mean Wednesday. What'd I say?
Friday.
Oh, no, Wednesday. I don't know what we're talking about on Friday, but on Wednesday we're going to be talking about that. So, Pastor Felicia, if you have a topic that the Holy Spirit gives you, just let me know. To my husband, I already told you that. If you have a topic that the Holy Spirit gives you, to let us know. And then we also have Tuesday available, Saturday and Sunday available for broadcasting, which we do not use those days unless the Holy Spirit says do a special broadcast for whatever reason. So, Bishop Francis, if there's a night that you want to come on, if the Lord has a word given to you, just let us know. Husband, you know I'm always asking you to take a day. Whatever the Lord says, just, you know, I want to get the word of salvation out. I want people to get born again. It's necessary in this last day, in these last days. It's very necessary for people to hear the word of God and be born again. My desire is for every night of the week for something to be going out on this broadcast about salvation. The nights that we don't broadcast, I would like, even if we have to do pre-recorded messages, for some scriptures to be going out about salvation, okay? We could talk about spirits and we could talk about all this other stuff, but people need to be saved. The natural mind does not receive the things of the spirit, okay? The things of the spirit is foolishness to them that are in the natural. They don't understand it. They don't want to understand it. They don't care, okay? But what we have to do is get the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if the Lord moves on your heart to talk about anything referring to salvation, anything referring to coming out of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ, into the light of his word, please let me know. Inbox me on Facebook. Get me on my Google account. Call me on my phone. Get in touch with me any kind of way you can so that we can get the message out. Amen.
Amen.
It's a lot for a person to do, to be on a broadcast. I was doing a broadcast every day until my work schedule changed. But the floor is open, or the door, I should say, is open for my husband, Pastor Felicia and Bishop Francis, if you'd like to utilize those other days to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. I know that Jesus is coming back soon. I don't know when he's coming back, but he's coming back sooner than yesterday.
Right.
So every day his return is getting closer and closer. We just don't know the day nor the hour. However, we want as many people to be born again as possible. This is why we're doing these broadcasts. We're doing these series. We're talking about spirits that control people and keep people bound so people can be set free, not just to be set free, but so they can go forth and get the gospel and tell somebody else about Jesus so somebody else can get saved, because we can't reach everybody. You know, Jesus said, go out and make disciples. Go out. Teach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Everything you saw me do, go ahead and teach them about it. Tell them about it. Tell them, I keep calling you Apostle Francis. Tell them. Tell them.
Sound like your husband.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said so you sound like your husband. You got the same thing.
I was going with Papa. We all won.
Get in him.
Yes, and it keeps coming out, apostle, apostle, apostle.
Because apostles plant.
Right.
And that's what he's doing through tell them ministries. It's a planting ministry. And so it just naturally the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is leading me to call him who he is.
Amen.
You know, man may know him as one thing, but God calls him something else.
That's why it's important to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. You know, it's not somebody trying to give a title because we're trying to pump you up or something like that. I don't care about pumping people up. I couldn't care less about that. But if that's what the Holy Spirit is saying, then that's what it is. I mean, it is what it is. Amen.
Because one thing I would like to speak about one day, Pastor Felicia and I were talking about it on last week. We were going around it anyway. And that is the offices within the church, to really understand what people, who people are. And then when you meet them, and you see their work, then you'll know what God has called them to do. See, we have a lot of people out there that are calling themselves a lot of things, but that's not the calling. That's not even the, one thing. Is not the calling God's called them to, nor is the calling they're walking in. They're calling themselves that, but they're not really walking in that calling.
But they're known by their fruit.
Exactly.
They're known by their fruit. If you're not producing fruit of that title, you need to sit down somewhere and shut up.
See, a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know what the titles mean. And a lot of people like the idea of each title was higher than the other title. People used to be, it was enough to be an elder. Then everybody had to be a pastor, whether you had a church or not. You're just a pastor. So you've been around long enough, everybody just calls you pastor. You're going to be an assistant pastor, associate minister, you're still called a pastor. You know, then pastor wasn't good enough. Then wanted to become a bishop. Then bishop wasn't good enough. Then everybody wanted to become an apostle. Then apostle wasn't good enough. Now we want to be called prophet and overseer and chief overseer and overseer of the chiefest of all the overseers and all that kind of, you know what I mean? I was overseeing with the overseers, overseeing them oversee, you know, all this kind of stuff, all these titles, you know, that we go under. And what I do is when I say, when the Lord leads me to say something about something, including you, Bishop Francis, when I refer to you as apostle, because that's the work I see you doing. Okay, it's not because I want to win brownie points with Bishop, so I'll call him apostle. If you weren't planning and being an ambassador and listening to the Lord and his guiding as is the instruction of the apostle, I wouldn't call you that. I'd call you what you say you are, a bishop.
And he would, too, believe me. Yes, he would.
And I don't say, if I don't see you as an overseer, I'd call you pastor.
He'd call you pastor.
He is a pastor. That's all you may call. You know, because I think we have to get away from that. I think that's a worldly thing. That's a worldly thing.
Yeah.
In fact, the book of Revelation, the church, I believe it was the church at Ephesus. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was a church at Ephesus. And the Lord said, I commend you for being critical of the Nicolaitans. And why he said that was because they had this high hierarchy. They were lecherous, yes, and they believed in something that compromised on the morality issue. But another issue they had was they believed in a high structural church, where the laity submitted themselves to this high organized highfalutin hierarchy, a sense of, you know, this bishop and archbishop and this person and that person and this rank and that rank, and everybody was striving to get the highest rank possible. And he said, it's not about the biggest eye, little shoe. Christ said, the one who's the greatest amongst you is the one who serves.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
But I'm not going to want to be great,
Bishop.
You know, yeah?
I'm going to let y'all continue this conversation probably on Friday.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Off the air. We did it for 90 minutes tonight, and I do have to go.
Okay, goodbye.
Don't do, see? Don't act like that.
It's the Friday, guys.
We live in the same house. I'm about to come get you in about 2 seconds. Countdown one. Anyway, well, we only have a couple of minutes left. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go ahead on and pray and close it out. We have 9 minutes left, but I do need to go. And I thank you, everybody, for joining us on tonight. I think we had a good time on tonight. Amen.
Believe it is. Yes, amen. Amen.
And I thank God for my co-host, who I never met in person, but she has just jumped in and joined me. I thank God for that. Of course, I thank God for my husband. And Apostle Francis, I just thank God for you on tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all pray for me as I go forth to this other place to do ministry tonight. Just pray my strength in the Lord, please. And pray that somebody gets saved tonight and really gets set free tonight in the name of Jesus. We are supposed to be ministering to about 9 women tonight. So I don't know who these women are. Some of them may be repeats from last week, but whatever the case is, we're going to go forth and do this one tonight. So just thank God for everybody coming. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you right now saying thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for being with us on tonight and open up our understanding about some things that we may not have really truly understood, but we just thank you for giving us understanding on tonight. Father, I bless your name. I give you praise, glory, and honor, and I just thank you for all that you're doing. But I ask that you will seal your word in our hearts, Lord God, that you will help us to call to remembrance your word and meditate on your word day and night, oh God, that we can make our way prosperous, oh God. And, Lord, you will be pleased with us, Lord God. So I just say thank you right now. I pray that you will bless my husband, Bishop Scott. I pray that you will bless Apostle Francis, that you will bless Pastor Felicia.
Hallelujah.
Bless Force 259, that you will bless, Lord God, Minister Howell right now and send finances her way, Lord God, for her broadcast, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you will just bless us, Lord God, to go forth and do your word. Do what your word says, that others might be saved, oh God. And we just thank you for it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Father, we just say thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. God bless.
Bless you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Radley.
John
boy. Good night, John boy.